and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds.
This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news on WGRN 94.1. Hi, this is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news on 94.1 WGRN. A little controversy up on the campus concerning a proposed power plant at OSU. It's a combined heat and power plant. Some say it's green. Others are opposed to it. We have, not in the studio, but by way of Zoom, Becca Pollard and Nikki Bellamacante. So, go ahead, Becca.
Hey, I'm Becca Pollard with the Sierra Club, and I appreciate you having me today. I heard about this OSU gas plant a few months ago, and it's pretty concerning for the university to be making a commitment to a new fossil fuel project at a time like this. So appreciate the opportunity to bring more attention to it.
Okay, and Nikki, you're with which group? The youth chapter of DSA at OSU, is that correct?
Yes, my name is Nikki Vellamacani, and I am a rising third year at OSU, but I'm also secretary of the OSU chapter of YDSA. I'm not technically associated with Sierra Club in any way. I testified at the hearing, and yeah.
Tell us a little about the hearing. Who held the hearing? What was it about?
Yeah, so the Ohio Power Siting Board, which is...
It's the Ohio Power Siting Board, is this state or OSU?
It's the state. So they're part of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. They are the agency that has to decide whether or not a project can be sited. So they held a public hearing. It was originally scheduled for back in April, but due to the COVID-19 pandemic, it was postponed and then turned into an online hearing. So it was actually the Ohio Power Siting Board's first time holding a hearing online. That made it a little bit challenging having it in the summer during a pandemic, during an uprising, and online, but there was still a strong turnout. 22 people spoke at the hearing, 20 of them opposed, and nearly 100 people watched the live stream.
All right, and you speak there? Nikki, didn't you say you spoke? What did you tell?
Yes, I did speak. I was around in the teams, like, of the people that spoke. Basically, my testimony said I wanted more people to be able to speak at the testimony, and that OSU is saying that because they're a public nonprofit institution, that they are exempt from any investigation about what kind of pollutants they can put into the air. And I said that I don't think that's right. That's frankly hypocritical of them to say that they're public and they're nonprofit, but they don't have to have any sort of scrutiny about what they do. And I also said how this is happening. This decision is happening in the middle of a global respiratory pandemic. And the more pollutants are put into the air, Columbus isn't a small city. Columbus is a pretty big city with a lot of stuff happening. There's a lot of college students, and the more pollutants are put, the more immune systems will crash, and it's not healthier for anyone. And I just spoke about how it's just hypocritical on OSU's part to be wanting to construct such a gas plant that will put more pollutants in the air, put more people at health risk, put more people at respiratory risk. And also they talk about how it will lower carbon emissions. The gas plant is planned to lower carbon emissions by 35% in the first year, but it won't be carbon neutral until 2050. And the city of Columbus has committed to 100% clean energy by 2022. So I think that's also a disconnect, how they can commit to such a goal by 2022, but this gas plant won't be fully green until 2050. And I don't know if they have any sort of explanation for this, or if they just think it's going to be pushed under the rug like everything else.
Well, it seems quite odd that they would argue that their educational charter and the fact that they're a nonprofit, are they saying it exempts them from being regulated on their emissions?
My understanding is that's what the argument the developers have made.
It's interesting because charters have been pulled, most famously at Antioch, when the school ended up, people filed, handled that case. So there's other actions that can be taken against educational institutions. So Nikki, you're suggesting that there's a conflict. You have OSU sitting in a city that's committed to going fully renewable by 2022, and they won't be neutral with carbon emissions until 2050 at OSU, is that right?
Yes.
And Becca, did you testify?
I did not. There were some Sierra Club volunteers who gave testimony at the public hearing, and our legal team will be speaking at the legal hearing next week.
And what's the Sierra Club's position on the plant?
Well, we are opposed to it. We think that it's a bad idea to be building new fossil fuel projects at a time like this. You know, we're in the midst of a climate crisis. We are in the midst of a global pandemic. We just had a couple of poor air quality days here in Columbus just this week. It really seems like a poor decision for public health and just to be a good neighbor. We'd really like to see OSU explore renewable alternatives.
Now, have you been able to determine where this idea came from? It really strikes me as quite odd at this moment in history that suddenly you're building this combined heat and power plant and it's gas-fired. Whose idea was it? Were the students calling for a new power plant and somehow the people of Columbus missed it?
I'm not sure exactly how they came up with this plan, but in all the outreach I've done, I've found that very few students were even aware that this was happening, which is pretty disappointing. You would think that it would be important to the university to get input from the students who are paying for everything before going forward with something like this.
And Nikki, were you up on the campus? Were you reading old books and you ran across Michael Harrington's socialism and he said no new power plants? And did they come to you? Did they ask you? How'd you become aware of this?
Of the gas plant being constructed?
Yeah.
One of my friends, I just heard through my friends that this gas plant was being constructed. And obviously as someone that wants to fight for a greener future, among many others, and why do you say OSU's statement, they put out a statement that also opposes this fracked gas plant, but also like aligning with my own personal beliefs, this isn't going to help like push us towards a more green future. People say that this is cleaner, but it's not clean. Because as far as I know, there is a lot of money going into this power plant. And I don't know if OSU has considered the alternatives, because there are other universities that are doing more, like they're doing greener alternatives, but they have smaller budgets than OSU. So if OSU has more money, then why aren't we putting money into greener alternatives like solar farms or wind energy? There are many alternatives, but why is the gas plant the main focus.
I know, it seems quite odd. The again, wasn't there a $1.1 billion deal with private energy companies that led to the formation of the so-called Ohio State Energy Partners in 2017? Have you been able to follow the money at all? OSU is sort of famous for these, you know, under the radar backroom deals.
I have heard a few people bring that up, and I haven't dug too deep into that myself, but I do think that's worth looking closely at.
Right. A few years back, right, they sold off all the parking as well. And there was a big question about who would control the energy grid. So, again, many people suggest it's a way for friends of the schools and donors and people who sit on the board. I remember Les Wexner, one of their most famous board members, as well as his wife, Abigail. People were questioning whether or not these things are really needed. Do either of you see any reason why you'd have to build a new plant as opposed to going with renewables?
I think OSU wants to be independent of the grid. I think maybe they think it's going to save them money in the long run. But, you know, in terms of the environmental impact, I really don't think they are making the right decision.
Why wouldn't they build their own green grid? I mean, it's a innovative university. I mean, they have the technicians there. Look, if the city of Columbus, hardly a bastion of innovation, can go green by 2022, you would think that a innovative university could do the same.
You would think so.
Yeah, Ohio State is a major research institution. So you would think that, like, with major steps in sustainability, they'd be able to do something greener, but it doesn't make any sense to me. Because another reason why I think this is hypocritical is because whenever you go to, like, restrooms, like in OSU, they have gotten rid of, like, not like toilet paper, but like paper towels, and they put like air dryers, like, for your hands after you wash your hands. And the signs say, oh, we want to go zero, we want to become a zero waste institution by this day. I don't really remember off the top of my head, like, what their time goal was. But everywhere you go, it says, we want to be a zero waste institution. But then they want to build a gas plant.
But they're going to argue the gas is better than the dirty coal, and that it's a step forward. So you're not buying the 35% reduction from the more polluting coal?
Well, I think that if you're just looking at what's currently on the grid, there might be something to that. But if you consider the city moving to renewable energy, then that doesn't really seem to make sense anymore. And, you know, we have to think about not just the local emissions, but the whole cradle to grave system of fracking and moving the fracked gas from one place to another.
So how does fracking play into this, if it does?
Well, nearly all natural gas comes from fracking. So, you know, unless they're saying otherwise, the gas is going to be coming from fracking. And, you know, as we know, there's a lot of fracking happening in southeastern Ohio, and a lot of the communities down there are being really negatively impacted by it. So it's a major concern.
And the Sierra Club has argued, of course, that it's really a false choice. They're saying, here, we're going to have to be on AEP's filthy older grid, which has some coal, or we have to build this new plant. But the reality is that there obviously are other choices if the city of Columbus seems to be able to take a third path towards renewables.
Yeah, you know, if they want to get off the grid, you know, they could, you know, they could do projects on some of their other campuses where there's more land than there is in Columbus, or, you know, they could have a power purchase agreement with a solar farm somewhere else. There are, you know, there's a lot of solar being developed right now. In fact, I just read in the Dispatch this morning that there's a 50 megawatt solar farm being developed in Columbus right now.
And again, in 2012, OSU signed an agreement with Blue Creek Wind Farm to provide 50 megawatts. So clearly they could go in that direction. And you're listening to WGRN 94.1. We're talking about a new plant at OSU, the combined heat and power plant. And again, we have Becca and Nikki in the studio. So Nikki, does YSA have an official opinion on this, and how did they arrive at it?
Yes, YDSA did put out a statement formally saying that they oppose this fracked gas plant. They came about it because after my hearing, I went to the organization and I said, hey, can we come up with a consensus and come up with a statement on how we feel about this gas plant? And as an org on campus that is headed by students, I do think that it should play a major part in how everyone feels, and or at least the university should listen to us. So after planning everything, I got in touch with the co-chairs and they put out an official statement, and they put it out on Twitter. I don't know if they put it out on any other platforms, but I've definitely seen the statement on Twitter.
Now, is YDSA a supporter of the Green New Deal?
Yes.
And how does this project fit into the Green New Deal? Is it going to provide jobs, or they're not the kind of jobs that you'd want?
Well, the main thing about the Green New Deal is that it fights for a greener future, because if the world is burning and if the world is inhabitable, there what do jobs, like what kind of difference do jobs make? First, there needs to be a livable habitat in order for there to be jobs. So opposing this gas plant is just our way of saying we need to have a livable environment, because the more pollutants put into the air, the more greenhouse gas emissions increase, the hotter it will become. Like every single year, it's been a record temperature for the earth. And that's just, it's scary. It's sad. And we're the ones that are doing this. So our stance is just that we need to have a livable environment. And my personal stance is that we have to have a livable environment before we have jobs. Jobs are totally important, but how can we have jobs if we don't have somewhere to live?
Right, and my understanding, there's a petition that opposes this. Is that correct, Becca?
Well, the Sierra Club set up an online form that makes it really easy to submit comments to the Ohio Power Siting Board to let them know your concerns about this plant. So that's at sc.org/NOOSUGAS, no OSU gas. So yeah, if you go to that URL, you'll find the form and you can fill it out. It's very quick and easy. So yeah, we really encourage people to do that. If they don't want to use our form, people can just go straight to the Ohio Power Siting Board website and use their form to submit comments.
Now, is it sited yet? Originally, I thought it was going to break ground in May or June and take 18 months to complete. Has the siting board made its decision?
No, the timeline has been pushed back. Originally, they were looking at that timeline, anticipating having the public hearing back in April. So, yeah, things are definitely not on the original timeline at this point.
And is there another hearing still coming up on July 14th?
Yes, that is the legal hearing. Our legal team will be presenting at that hearing. That's not a public hearing, so there won't be opportunity for public testimony at that hearing. Though a lot of the public who spoke at the hearing last week did request a second public hearing, since the circumstances under which this one was held made it pretty difficult for the public who will be most impacted to be involved.
All right, and why DSA planning, Nikki?
We have yet to discuss. So far, we've only talked about putting out an official statement, but the more the word gets around, I'm sure a lot more people will want to like testify and say how they feel about. I know a lot of members of YDSA tuned in to like listen to the hearing. A couple members also did testify alongside everyone, but we just want to get the word out as much as possible because it's not right for O9 to end back. A lot of students did not know about this. And a lot of OSU students attended the climate strike that happened last year in September 2019. Obviously, there's major support for greener energy, for a better future in long term. So if OSU wants to do this behind students' backs, then that's just not right.
Will there be any lobbying of the incoming president, Christina Johnson? Do you know where she stands on this plant?
She'll be starting in September, and we aren't aware of her position on this yet, but I imagine she will be hearing from students about this.
And again, she's been involved in energy companies that was operating hydropower plants, and also, as I believe, served as the Undersecretary of Energy at the Department of Energy. So it'll be interesting to see what her perspective is. Seems like perhaps a way to slow things down to see what the new president wants. Clearly, the last president wasn't overly green as he departs to go out and run the California system. So what can people do? Where can they get information here in the last few minutes? How do they contact you? What do you want the listeners to do?
Well, I would really urge people to submit comments to the Power Siting Board. There's a lot of information on the Power Siting Board website. We've got information on all of our social media channels. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you look for Ohio Beyond Coal, that's the campaign of the Sierra Club that I'm affiliated with. You can find all that information out there. Nikki, do you have anything to add?
I guess I would just say spreading the word is one of the best things that we can do. Social media is a great platform to speak your mind. I guess around OSU campus, it would be putting up flyers, letting people know, because I don't think it, I feel like if most students knew about this, they would definitely oppose it. And I would just say that getting together with different orgs, joining orgs. I know this is more directed towards what students can do, but joining orgs, talking to people, and just figuring out plans of action is the best thing that we can do, especially in a time where social distancing is very important. Just connecting with people and getting the word out is very important.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in addition to students, alumni may have some influence with the university. So, you know, anyone who has affiliation with the university, I would encourage to reach out to the university and let them know what you think.
And again, in the last few minutes here, are both of you opposed to them using natural gas under the guise of it being green?
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, even using the term natural gas, I think is misleading because it's coming from fracking, which is certainly not a natural process.
Which is very deep and very dirty and very destructive. Any thoughts as we close out on any of the pipeline decisions that recently came down?
It's been really great to hear that there have been some pipelines stopped this last week. The Dakota Access Pipeline, the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, and the KXL Pipeline have all been halted this week, which is great news. Unfortunately, there are still a lot of pipelines going forward, including the Buckeye Express in southeastern Ohio. So I really hope that this is going to be a trend that continues.
And Nikki, how do people get a hold of YDSA?
We are available on all social media. You can just email us or reach out to, like, if you know some people that are in YDSA, just reach out to everyone. You can reach out to the exec board. Also, if you want to go a little bit further, because YDSA is definitely a branch of DSA, Columbus DSA also does a lot of organizing around Columbus, like the city. And YDSA does collaborate with them in some things, but we're also campus oriented.
And for full disclosure, I was the co-founder of DSA in Columbus, so it has my endorsement. Thanks a lot, Nikki. Thanks a lot, Becca. Thanks to the listeners who listen to WGRN 94.1, The Other Side of the News.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.